Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, the two words church and sex haven't set that comfortably next to each other, but our next guest has found a way for them to at least exist together. He's the founder of something called the Triple X Church. Everybody's welcome there, including porn stars, porn producers, and sex workers. It's quite something. It's a website that seems to be growing and growing and growing in its impact. His name is Craig Gross, and he's with us now on Open House. Craig, welcome to Open House.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's certainly something quite controversial in many ways to, have a website, a place where you call it Triple X Church. Tell me, how did the journey begin to form this kind of service to people?
It actually started over 6 years ago now. We were youth pastors, and we were seeing this kind of common theme amongst kids in our youth groups that they were struggling with pornography. And the difference between, I think, us and our kids were we used to have to go searching for it, whereas they didn't have to do much searching. They actually had to work really hard to avoid it. And we just thought, you know what could we do to create a safe place online where people could get help and they could get the truth about this issue? So we threw it up online, triplexchurch.com, and you know, 6 years later, I guess I'm known as a porn pastor, and never thought I would have experienced some of the things that we have.
Mm. Well, tell me, what have you experienced? I know you've, you are right in there when it comes to the porn industry. It must be a tricky ministry to live out.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. From day one, we actually launched the ministry at a porn trade show. And so that looked a lot different than our youth groups.
Just
it was, kind of blew us away from the start of hey, here's what's actually happening in our world today. And the crazy thing is we were invited back to these shows, and we've gone to now probably 15 different shows across the world and made friends with people that are in the industry. We don't look at them any different than I look at people at church. And we just try and basically tell them that there's a way out, that there's, you know, an answer if they're looking for some help when it comes to these issues. So that's been one of the things that we've done. We've obviously traveled the different countries talking about this subject, and from churches to colleges to men's breakfasts to even women's events. Nothing's really off limits these days because pornography affects so many different people.
Now, actually, launching it from a porn trade fair, some would say, well, look, okay, it's fine to launch a website and help people that are struggling, etc. But actually, to be right in the midst of that kind of stuff, well, that's just going a step too far. What's your response?
Yeah, I would think initially people had a problem with it, especially amongst the church. But we think, you know, you can't blame the dark for being dark. You got to blame the light for not shining in the dark. And we just felt like this was an opportunity and this is where we needed to go. And since we've gone, and I think it's been obviously over 6 years, you know, not everyone loves us, but I think a lot of people, religious people, have kind of maybe taken a second thought of, hey, maybe their motives are decent. Maybe, you know, we're not in it for the wrong reasons like people thought from the start.
Jesus did relate directly to prostitutes, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, and what we've found is, you know, why wait for them to show up at church when there's an opportunity, obviously, to go right to where they're at?
Yeah. So what kind of response have you had from those people within the porn industry, from the producers of porn videos to sex workers and the lot? What kind of response are you seeing?
The response from people amongst the industry has been great. I mean, not everyone, obviously, is best friends with us, but obviously a lot of people, I mean, have received the message. We hand out Bibles that say Jesus loves porn stars at these conventions. We're able to just make a lot of friends with these people, and it hasn't I'd say we've made more friends than enemies when it came to the porn conventions.
Yeah. And tell me, how many of them are interested in finding a different life? I mean, what kind of stories of these people are you hearing? What's their background?
You know, some are. Obviously, others are just caught up. And I mean, the Bible says sin's fun for a season. And a lot of these people are right in that middle of that season where this looks like a great thing. And, you know, we're not going to try and argue with them like, hey, you know, really it's not. But we kind of just, it's a waiting game. It's a game where they finally figure out that this is a dead end, that this isn't what they wanted to do with their lives. I've never met anybody at a porn show that could honestly look me in the face and say, this is what I wanted to do as a kid. This is what, you know, I wanted to do with my life. And so, like, we've seen some great things happen. I mean, one of the guys I met the very first show I ever went to, he's not only now out of the industry, he spent 9 years producing. Now he's actually enrolled in seminary as a guy that's studying to become a pastor. Mm. And so I look at, you know, something like that where, obviously, I mean, God can do anything, and we've seen just some great things happen amongst these shows.
Yeah. This is Open House. We're talking to Craig Gross. He's the co-founder of the XXXChurch.com, quite an interesting website for those people who are wrestling with porn and addictions, and he does some pretty, I guess you could say, innovative ways of reaching out to those who are struggling. Interesting, back in 1998, Time magazine warned that porn was going to become mainstream. It really has become mainstream now, isn't it? Just as you mentioned before, you really have to work actively to stay away from porn online or in magazines or whatever, whereas it wasn't the case a generation ago.
Oh, yeah. No, this is now the number one thing to do online. And I mean, it's a $59 billion a year industry worldwide is what the sex industry brings in. And I think here in the United States, a website, I'm not going to give out the URL, yeah, but a free porn website just bought a URL name, and I think they spent like $4.5 million on just the purchasing of the domain. And
wow,
I mean, obviously this is a huge issue. A lot of money spent. A lot of those people are dealing with this, and are dealing with this in secret. They've never shared this with anyone. They've never talked about this with anybody. And in fact, the numbers say that 75% of people that view porn all by themselves.
Hmm.
Most porn is viewed between the hours of 9 to 5. So you look at that, this is why people are at work, why the kids are at school. This is in the comfort of your own home. And one of the things that we see so devastating about it is the fact that you've never told anybody. You think maybe you're strange because, you know, your kids are looking at this, or your husband was caught looking at this. So we're just trying to tell people, hey, there's help out there.
Mm. Craig, this is going to sound like a very obvious question, but I know that some of my listeners actually have it. What is so bad about porn?
I think one of the things that we've seen is pornography is not real. It's fantasy. It's not reality. And oftentimes, I mean, 9 out of 10 times, it's not what you're going to find in a real sexual relationship. In fact, I think, and what a lot of experts have said, is that pornography will ruin your future or your current sex life, because your sex life can't live up to what you've maybe started to see online. Another thing is it's oftentimes people say, well, this is just a entertainment. This is just it's helping me actually as an aid. And you know, I look at how God has designed sex and how great of a thing it is, and pornography cheapens that. Pornography, you know, takes your focus off the person that, you know, you're in love with, and puts that onto somebody else on the screen or somebody else on a video. And the difference between fantasy and reality, a lot of people have a hard time coming back to reality. And so many people I meet every week as I travel say, you know what, my husband would rather be with somebody on a computer than with me. Mm-hmm. And you don't ever understand that. Like, why would you rather do that than actually have sex? Well, it's a lot easier. You know, it's when and where you want it. An internet woman never says no. And just the fact that so many times I think anything we're doing in secret is never probably going to be a good thing.
Yeah. I was quite disheartened when I heard there was a couple of friends that I knew who were having some marriage problems, and they went along to a counselor, and the counselor suggested that they look at pornography together because it might spice up their relationship. What kind of a response to give to those kinds of words of wisdom?
Yeah, to me, if you're looking, if something's broken, pornography is not going to fix it. You know, there's better answers out there than, we'll watch this video. Because oftentimes, it's going to be awkward. I mean, when you're seeing these people on screen, they don't look like probably most men and women that are in a marital relationship. And pornography is all about the guy. I mean, the products are designed to stimulate the men. And oftentimes, the women are beautiful, the men, it doesn't matter what they look like. And so obviously watching that with your spouse, you know, she's going to have that thoughts of, I don't look like that. I don't do those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that I just found out recently, and obviously we're trying to work on the government here in the United States about this issue, but in Australia, and you know, I don't know if your listeners know about this, but it's a great thing. Basically, the government is spending a ton of money to help people that want help with this issue. And so what the government in Australia has done is they've made available free filtering for your computer. Mm. Our friends from Internet Safety, the product is called Safe Eyes that they've created. That's one of the three that you can choose from. It's free. If you have a kid that tries to access it, tries to go around it, you can get a text message sent to your phone saying that someone has tried to do this. You can set hours, parameters. So parents, we got to wisen up, but we've got to do some things. And that's a free thing that is available. Australia is the only country that is is doing this. So we're trying to convince the United States to take the
that's nice.
Advice of people there in Australia.
We're taking the lead in the national arena for once. It's nice to hear. Craig Gross is with us on Open House, the co-founder of XXXChurch.com. Craig, I'm interested to hear more about the people that you relate to within the porn industry. I've spoken to a lot of people from a lot of walks of life. Knowingly, I have never actually spoken to somebody who's within the porn industry, not that I know of. Tell me, how do they get into the industry and what kind of lives are they actually living? I'm interested to know, how does the fantasy that is portrayed online or in the magazines or whatever it might be relate to the reality of the lives that you know?
Well, first of all, people get into the porn industry just like they, you know, they end up there just like a lot of people end up in their jobs. You set your eyes on something, it didn't work out, and so you take this. A lot of people, a lot of gals move to Los Angeles, try and get a deal acting or music, and now they try this. And it's easy money, it looks like. It's quick, you know, $500 or something is what they'll start you out with. Well, you can't make that at the local coffee house. It'll take you 2 weeks to do that. And then you spend the money and you come back. And, you know, the problem is once you do porn, you've pretty much shot your Hollywood career. Although, unless you're a superstar of porn, you're not going to ever end up making motion films. And so then you just get stuck and you start making compromises like, well, I'll only do solo scenes. I won't ever sleep with somebody else on camera. And then a lot of the women say, well, I'll only do something with another woman. And then money is waved in front of you, and pretty soon you end up doing things that you never thought you were going to do. And I find it really interesting, the people that I meet within the industry are pretty similar to the people I meet with at church, at colleges, that are conflicted by viewing porn, because they share that same conflict of very progressive this porn stuff is, and it gets you to do things you didn't think you would do, but you're conflicted, you're making compromises, you're making you've said you never would do this, and now pretty soon you find yourself here. They create a new name for themselves, you know, obviously an identity that they now have to live up to on camera. But you take that away, and when you just meet these people, most of them I've met don't even enjoy sex anymore. It's two different things. It's not the glamour. It's not the great thing that they've made you believe. In fact, even a porn, I mean, most porns take probably 6 hours to make. They're going to show you 20 minutes of the thing. They're not going to show you, you know, the girl crying on the set or the different things that happen on a lot of these things. So that's what we've seen. We've seen a lot of conflict. I mean, I have a good friend, Ron Jeremy, that is 55 years old yesterday. He's the biggest name in porn next to Jenna Jameson. And Ron has two master's degrees, one in special education, the other in education. And, I mean, he never thought he would do porn, but one photo got submitted to Playgirl magazine, and next thing you know, he spent 30 years of his life doing porn.
Wow. Promises so much, and then ends up actually totally consuming you, isn't it? That's the whole thing with these things, is that they promise freedom. They end up totally consuming us.
Yeah. Exactly.
How do you wrestle your own temptation when you're in these kinds of areas, when you're seeing these kinds of things? I mean, to some degree, I guess you're right in the midst of it. How do you manage your own temptation?
Yeah, and see, a lot of people, I mean, it's the number one question we always get asked, but it comes from people, a lot of times, that have only seen the part that the media has thrown out to you, or you've only seen the glitz, the glamour, the attraction to this stuff. You know, like the Playboy Mansion, no one ever shows pictures of the place at noon on a Saturday. The place is actually a zoo. There's more animals there than there are girls. My 5-year-old would have enjoyed it more than I did. it's not what they make it seem or what it looks like with all the lights and all the parties. The porn show is the same thing. They try and put on a good face, and if you go for a couple of hours, you might buy into it. You go to one of these conventions for 3 days, and you stand across a booth from girls that are signing autographs all day long, that are taking photos all day long, that are wearing hardly any clothes. A guy walks up to them, puts his camera underneath their skirt, and takes a photo, maybe grabs the girl in an inappropriate way, but she's a porn star and she loves sex. That's what she's made you believe. But we see the faces on these girls when the guys walk away and stare at those pictures. And there's just something that's not right when you watch that. I don't care what your upbringing is or what your faith in God is or isn't. You see things that aren't right. These are somebody's daughters. These are real people. The images on the screen, you never want to know too much about that girl. You don't want to know that there's a porn star that we helped out of the industry that just finished nursing school but can't pay for her gas and electric bills and is, you know, really struggling with life after porn, and wrestles every day with the fact that if you type in her name, all you'll find is naked photos of her. No one knows those stories. And I think for me, we've seen that. We've also seen the devastation it causes to consumers. I've taken people to jail. I've seen marriages right in front of me split up over this. And so when you go to these shows or you get invited to some of these places or you go on a tour with Ron Jeremy, you get that, man, this isn't what... There's a deeper layer here, and when you see that, it's not attractive. It's not glamorous. I'm more thankful every day for my two kids and my wife than ever before.
Yeah, and I think that's the most interesting thing about talking to you, Craig, is that we're hearing the reality behind all of this fantasy life that is continually being shoved out there. I'm very interested to know, you mentioned it just briefly there about some of the challenges that some people coming out of the porn industry actually have to reintegrate into regular day life. Tell me more about those struggles. It must be hard when they've been on such a high income. Then to leave that and, like you said, try to get themselves through university to get some extra education. But the temptation to go back must be very, very high.
Yeah, and the other myth is that, you know, because there's so much money in porn, it trickles down to all the girls or the stars, and that's really not the case. This one gal that we've worked with, her website was making $10,000 a month, but she doesn't own the website name. She's signed that over to the company. You know, that name is trademarked to the company. And so there are some women in the industry that run their own company that make millions of dollars, but there's thousands of others that are paid per gig, you know, a couple $100 here, and the money is literally spent before, you know, whether it be rent or whether it be drugs or, you know, clothes or just upkeep of the lifestyle that they have to portray, that, you know, they're not thinking ahead or they're not saving their money. But they fear, like, okay, well, what? I don't want to go work at McDonald's. I don't have education. Most women in porn don't have a college education. A lot don't even have high school education. So it's not necessarily even the money. It's more of like, what else do I do? And so one of the things that our ministry does, we have a fund set up called the Esther Fund that we're able to help some people further their education. You know, we're able to help with insurance, rent, utilities, certain things that, hey, this isn't going to be easy leaving porn, but long term you're going to be better off, and we want to help you kind of in the short term.
Uh-huh. Have you ever wrestled with this yourself, Craig?
Yeah, you know, I'm 32 now, and so when I was in sixth grade is when I first saw it. I can still remember the image in my head. 10th grade, I saw it again. I mean, it just really wasn't available, and I got through college without even having a computer. So I think luckily I escaped just because, I mean, it was hard to find. I couldn't get my hands on it. Nowadays, you know, if I was growing up, I'm scared to death, obviously, even for my kids, of just how prevalent this stuff is. So for me, it's never been my issue. And I'm thankfully, I think it's because I was never really around it. And now that you see this other side, I mean, I have struggles. I'm not anywhere close to perfect, but I feel like this isn't the issue that has got me, because I'm convinced that you know, to stay away from that.
And what advice would you give to somebody who's kind of, you know, right in the midst of all of this? Either they're involved in the industry in some kind of way, they're, you know, pulling a few shifts at the local brothel, or probably more to the case, are trapped in watching porn online. What's your starting point?
Yeah, starting point, I mean, obviously we believe in God, and we believe that Jesus came to set you free of your sins, of your mess that you made for yourself, and he offers a better way. A lot of people want to take that or leave it, but obviously I think that's the end-all answer, that there's a God that loves you despite of anything that you do. I think he's placed you here in your current stage, and he hasn't put you here alone. So, I get emails every day that says, I have no one to talk to. It's simply, that's a lie. Everybody has somebody that they can talk to. It's not an easy conversation. It's not a quick one, and it's one that it's probably going to happen more than once, but you've got to find somebody else that you can talk to. Be honest, be open, share your garbage with, and somebody that's going to not look at you strange, but they're going to say, hey, you know, I'm here for you. And then finally, you've got to decide, you know what, it's worth it to make some choices in your life so you can clear some of this out, whether that's disconnecting the internet, whether that's getting a free filter, whether that's, you know, just staying off the internet, whether that's ending on a relationship that's gone south, whether that's quitting your job. Like, you know what you're going back to, and it's not going to, I mean, the Bible, and obviously it's what I believe, says run away from sexual sin. And I think in our world today, it's really hard to run away from it when we're staring right at it. So you might have to go out of your way to physically remove some of the stuff in your life that you've brought in.
Absolutely. And what's the first thing that somebody within the industry can actually do to break free of the porn or the sex industry?
I think, I mean, if there's anybody in the industry, I think there are a number of groups or a number of people that want to help you. You know, we personally know people that have come out of the industry that would love to talk to you, that would love to tell you that, hey, it's not going to be the easiest decision, but it's probably going to be the right one, the best one that you've made. And so whether that's just going to XXXChurch.com and dropping us a note I think we could probably get you connected with some people that have gone down that road before. And, you know, it's scary. It's something that obviously, you know, I hear all the time, well, I'm not going to do it forever. I mean, yeah, no one's going to be a porn star forever. But, I mean, today's the day. Like, why not? Why wait? Why go another day, and, you know, caught up in that world? And I think there's a better way. There's something better that obviously your life should be about, and you don't have to resort to this.
Yeah. More power to you, Craig, and to your co-founder of XXXChurch.com. It's been great talking to you. Thanks for putting us right and, I guess, bringing the reality to our minds.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, it's Craig Gross, the co-founder of the XXXChurch. The website is xxxchurch.com.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.